Well, good morning again. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs again in chapter 1. So as you're flipping there, and hopefully you have your Bibles, let me give you a bit of an overview just real quickly. Proverbs breaks up into two really big chunks. Chapters 1 through 9 are filled with the purpose of the book. We looked at that last week. The nature of wisdom, we talked a little bit about that. We'll look more at the necessity of having wisdom. And then there's very specific instructions that are given in those first 9 chapters. Then when we move to chapters 10 through 31, that becomes the section of Proverbs that we're probably most familiar with, those short, salty statements of truth that are designed to make us think, designed to put our hearts on display, and designed for us to remember them. So we're going to take the next few weeks, we're going to work our way through those first 9 chapters, listening to the instructions of the book. Then we'll spend the remainder of our time in this book looking at specific topics that it addresses. Now, this is going to be helpful for us. This is a much better approach, because what we'll end up doing is we'll get a full take on each issue so we can let our hearts be a little bit more confronted where needed. Now, here's what I mean by this. It would be easy to take one side of the coin of a topic that we agree with, and we proudly parade around in arrogance thinking that we're wise because, hey, I agree with that statement. But as we said last week, we have to think deeper than just that. We have to ask, when and where are these truths this proverb is making plain, when are they most applicable? And when do I think differently about a situation? You see, we often don't like some proverbs because they don't let us off the hook so easily. They reveal our heart's conditions on certain situations. Now, rather than talk theoretically, let's try to make this point concrete by looking at just two Proverbs real quickly. I mentioned Proverbs 10:4 last week, but it says this: a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Ah, yes, poverty, you're lazy, rich, you're diligent. And so, yeah, we agree with that. That's wonderful. But Proverbs 11:28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. So come to find out, it's not necessarily about the riches or the poverty. Notice the emphasis of righteousness. So it would be easy to hang our hat on one of those and just proclaim that from the mountaintops without understanding what is going on in my own heart. It is wise for us to look at the book holistically in terms of how it approaches various topics. So with that said, would you follow along as I read Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 19? That'll be our section for today. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. The phrase, my son, that we see here is found all over the book of Proverbs. This is the context of this book, a father giving instructions to his son. You even probably noticed that in this section that I just read, the phrase, my son, comes up 3 different times. Now, this is how I intend to grapple with this passage this morning, looking at each of those moments where the Father says, my son. He says those incredible words, my son. So much is communicated in that phrase. One law, my son. The Father is speaking in the context and with a context of a relationship, a loving relationship. He is saying, you are my boy. You are my son. I take responsibility. I give my love towards you. Secondly, with those beautiful words, my son, he communicates tenderness. Well, I can remember, maybe you can, when I was a boy and my dad would begin with those words, my son, oftentimes as he had to say something quite hard to me. You see, there's a tenderness in those words, even though the instruction may be hard to receive. A reminder as the father walks into the instructions. You see, a loving father speaks firm but tenderly with his son. And thirdly, and perhaps most certainly, there is a seriousness communicated. The father is asking for the son to look up, pay attention, because he is about to say something important. My son, look. And you know, the father's instructions are just that simple. Notice the command here, hear, listen. The father's instructions, the mother's teachings, the father looks at the sons and says, listen to them, hear my instructions, hear your mother's teaching. You know, it takes both to raise a child well. Sure, the most predominant context of this book is a father to his son, but the mother is very present in raising this child into maturity, into godliness. Well, there's so much here to talk about what happens in our home and how our efforts that are in our kiddo's life, that it should be instruction and teaching. Our homes must be characterized by a love that is instructive and is teaching often. Or perhaps I could say it this way. Our homes must also be characterized by a discipline that does the same thing, that it instructs and it teaches. Now that, I'll admit, is much harder work for sure, but it's necessary, as we're going to see today and throughout this entire book. But notice what is being asked for with the first my son phrase. Hear, listen to me. Do you know that out of all the my son statements in Proverbs, and there's quite a few of them, that the number one thing, the most predominant command that comes after this wonderful, loving, tender, serious phrase, the predominant command is hear, listen to me. Now, brothers and sisters, this book will do nothing if we are not willing to hear and listen to its advice. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than someone hearing sound, godly advice, and it, to borrow a common saying, goes in one ear and out the other. Hear, listen, receive, contemplate, think. Don't let them go away. The father often follows up those words of my son with hear, to strike at the son's attention, to cause him to be attentive, to ask him to stop listening to other voices. Consider the implications of my instructions. Hear the teaching of your mother. Listen, make application, heed the words that are being communicated. And it's not uncommon for us, nor is the command only for the son. These come off the page to us as well. You know, and perhaps this would make for a great prayer each Sunday as we come to our time together in God's words. Perhaps it would be wise to say, God, help me to hear. Help me to not just hear the words, but help me listen to them. Father, help me fight through all the noise of the distractions. Help me fight through all the voices of inadequacies that I feel, that I hear creeping up in my brain. Help the voices of all the wrongs that I've already committed. Help your words, your instructions, your truth, help those to be far more predominant in my life. Lord, help me to hear. Help me to listen. Wouldn't that be wise for us as a church family as we come to God's word? You know, it would be easy in a series on Proverbs to tune everything out, thinking that we are a lost cause. Well, I don't do that. Well, I make poor choices. So we can move to thinking that we are just simply a lost cause. Well, let me just remind you, and perhaps let me just say this, listen to me here. No, you're not. Do you know that constant invitation throughout the entire book of Proverbs of here? It comes over and over again to bring us back to the Lord's ways. You see those commands and instructions of hear and listen? Well, they're an invitation. They are a reminder to listen to God's voice. To stop seeking advice outside of the Father's words. To stop being deceived. And you know, if we do, then God's wisdom becomes, as the text says, a graceful garland and pendants, things that signify life, health, and victory, symbols of honor and a life that could hardly be discredited. As one scholar said, he said, the awarding of garland is a symbolic metaphor signifying victory and vindication over enemies, power and life, as well as prestige and high social status. He goes on to say that the pendant, the necklace for the throat, symbolizes guidance and protection. If we hear and listen to the Father's instruction, to the Father's teachings, this becomes true of us. What a wonderful thing for us to listen to. What a wonderful thing for us to tune our ears into. Oh, but that's just one of the my son statements. The next one comes in verse 10, and the father says, my son, do not consent. That becomes a command in the next section. Well, what is he saying? He's saying, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Now, we all know too well there are many voices pulling at us, many voices maybe calling us into different directions than the Lord. Notice the talk of the sinners in that section. Notice their tone. Come with us. Throw your lot in with us. You will be greatly rewarded. Invitations to evil with overinflated results. Well, that's no good. Gain brought by the shed of blood is no gain at all, as we will see. You see, here the father is warning the son of false promises coming from a gang of sinners who want to do violence. Their invitations are to evil. They're giving an overinflation of the results. They want violence. Maybe as you think about the father's instructions, and here we are at the beginning, that maybe this sounds a bit weird and out of place to start with this type of instructions with the son. But it's necessary. Why? To help his son discern the right voices, to think through the invitation and consider what is being asked of him from the sinners, the gang, the evil one. Not only what's being asked of him, but what's being promised. Because no matter the promised results, he says, do not consent when it is full of violence, when it is full of evil. We, the son, can be so easily enticed. That's why the father starts here. You see, greedy gain can capture us at a moment's notice. The big payoff makes a promise of joy, it promises peace, but at what cost? The gain's means to get all the gain might be easily discernible to you. Maybe you read this text going, oh yeah, that's definitely one that you don't want to be a part of. But don't be fooled, brothers and sisters. There are other ways that you might fall into such a trap. There are other ways that I myself fall into such a trap, though it's easy to discern the evil they're asking of him. But don't be fooled this morning. We might be guilty of falling into similar traps. You see, the Father starts here because the promises of being cared for, the promises of having everything, throw your lot in with us. We're going to take care of each other. We're going to have one purse. It's going to be wonderful. The Father starts here because those promises of being cared for, they're by voices that do not have the Son's best interests in mind. They are not mom and dad. Those promises are not coming from voices who actually care for the Son. They, the father and the mother, are the greater voice to listen to. No matter how enticing, evil ways are never the means towards gaining anything. Evil ways, going against the Lord's wisdom, personified in the Father here, going against him is never going to gain us anything. Brothers and sisters, we have to be aware. We have to give great discernment on what to listen to, what to hear most clearly in our lives. Now, whether this situation is hypothetical or not, the point is the same, that many sinners will say enticing things, but they are not the Father. Did you hear that? Whatever we want to think about this particular situation, though, many are pulled forward in greedy gain. The point is, many sinners, many things apart from God will say enticing things to us, but they are not the Father. They are not the Father. And we could go and say they are not God. The Father's voice. Oh, how wonderful and great and necessary wisdom is. The third and final, my son, comes in chapter, well, in this chapter, but verses 15 through 19. Let me read those to us again. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of the possessor. The Father, with this final my son instruction, he moves from all the enticing speech of the sinners. Now he gives a rebuttal to their ways. He uses imagery to make plain their foolishness. The Father says, do not walk with them, for their path is treacherous. And it is, and if one follows it, it will be treacherous for them. Do not take the same path. It doesn't matter how well-worn that path is, because a well-worn path is of no use if it leads to sin. Don't walk it. Don't step in the footsteps. Don't step in the footprints of sinners, son. Those tracks lead to evil. Do not walk in them. See the foolishness in their ways and understand what they are actually asking you to do. Consider their ways. Consider the source, perhaps. He says they are foolish indeed. And I say foolish because that's what the Father draws out in our first real true proverb in verse 17. Did you catch that? It's actually rather brilliant. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird. Because typically speaking, if a net is spread out in the sight of a bird, it's useless. Because a sensible bird will go around to avoid the trap. It's obvious to them. But not these sinners. In stark contrast to the simple bird are the ignorant sinners running into a trap. Listen to it again, verse 18. But these men, after the analogy of a simple bird who gets it, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. They trap themselves by their sinful, evil ways. They set their own trap. They cast a net in plain view and they fall right into it. And the result is deadly. It takes away their life. What a play on the instructions of the Father that he has given to his Son. Because the ambush of the sinners set for the innocent back in verse 11 actually is an ambush for the guilty, for their own lives. This becomes our main point here. A terrific summary to the wisdom being explained here. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, or at least it should be. Only the foolish will not see it. Or if they do see it, they think they're above being trapped. Or the seeming reward will be worth it. We'll take our chances. The Father, in the end, is telling the Son, notice the nets. See them. Listen up. Hear the entrapments that are clouded in these promises. Well, why is wisdom so important? So the net of sin will be in vain. That we won't take its bait. But like a smart bird will listen to the Father's instruction and fly to safety. Why is wisdom so important? So that those nets will indeed be in vain. We will not take the bait. But like a smart bird, we'll listen to the Father's instructions. He's the better voice. Hear the Father's instructions. Listen to the mother's teaching. They are right and pure. They are the voices that reveal nets. And you become the smart bird flying to safety because you see through the lies. You notice the evil that lurks around the corner. That the ways of the evil would be so plain to you. That's the trick. Is that the ways of sin and evil would become so plain, so noticeable to you, like a net spread out in plain view. You go, oh, I see that so clearly. But you know what's amazing is all of this hinges on the Father's instructions and the mother's teachings. You know, we learned last week that the instruction and teaching is grounded in the Lord. In essence, the Father's instructions, the mother's teachings are synonymous with the Lord's teachings. What is being given here is indeed the Lord's word. Sin is bad and to be avoided. Why? Because it ultimately leads to death. Did you notice that in the last line? It says this, such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor. This is a conclusion being drawn from the evil gang who is greedy for unjust gain. That's how the story plays out here. Certainly relatable to us in all kinds of different ways. But what is great, did you notice how it says such are the ways? Drawing a broader conclusion that there are multiple ways past sin that have a similar feel and fate. That sin here, which is unjust gain, which is a tremendous evil, and we're all not too far from it, perhaps, it takes away the life of the possessor. That sin, evil past, evil ways. The principle is rather simple. You get what you sow. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Sow in sin yields death, a spiritual death. Sowing in wisdom yields life. A spiritual life. And that is only possible in Christ. Because you see, the Father's instruction, the Father's teaching, God's wisdom put Christ before us as the only means we are made well, that we become wise to the sins that so easily entangle us. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Verse 2 makes it plain. Looking to Jesus. Why him? He's the founder and perfecter of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, if we are to become wise to sin and evil ways, it's to cling to God's wisdom. And God's wisdom is found in the person and work of Christ. We look towards him. Why is wisdom so important? So the net of sin will be in vain, that we will not take the bait, but like a smart bird, we listen to the Father's instruction and fly to safety. If you have stumbled upon our page this morning and you're wondering what it means to know the person and work of Christ, you wonder what it is to know God's wisdom in the person and work of Jesus, please fill out that connection card. We would love to chat further. Brothers and sisters, in as much we look towards Jesus, those nets of sin will become so plain. Let us hear the Father's instructions this morning. Let us not only hear and listen, but let us heed his words. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I am tremendously grateful for the beauty of your word, the thoughtfulness of your scriptures that speak so plainly to our lives. And oftentimes I feel so inadequate to unpack all that is in your word. But in some small way this morning, I hope that you have encouraged us, that you have challenged us. Lord, I hope that you have drawn our attention towards Jesus this morning, to understand that your instructions are plain, and through the person and work of Jesus in our lives, we can become the sensible bird, the wise bird, seeing evil from a distance and avoiding it. Father, perhaps this morning the greatest challenge and encouragement to us is to listen to your voice more, to tune our ears into your instructions, to tune our ears into your teachings. Oh, Father, it is a great joy to be in your word The results are endless, and I pray that we at Light in the Desert Church would grow in maturity, and you would increase and deepen our faith. If some are listening, you don't know you, they might begin to hear the wisdom that you have, begin to understand the wisdom that you have in your Son, Jesus. So, Father, it is in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been great to kind of be with you. If you do have further questions, certainly email me, fill out that connection card. Do take some time this week. Open up Proverbs, take some time to read through it. Go slowly, take time to think through it. And I think you might find it to be beneficial. Grace and peace.